5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Seven nights at Hallis, what it is, what it do. Since Bobby Ingram, Curtis Edison. Know that we've been loyal even when we wasn't winning. A trusted source for the news. Seven nights at Hallis.
Yo, 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 ladies and gentlemen, we are here. Episode 229. We're one episode away from having 230 of these things. 230 episodes
of pain.
Actually, I take that back. Not 230 episodes of bad. There's about 20 episodes of this podcast that were joy because of the 2018 season. So that's probably the only one you'll find joy in. But yeah, we are here. Scott and Flows. You know to follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Barchair Scott, at Flows and Delaney. Follow the pod, 79th and Hallis, at 79th and Hallis. On Twitter, you can follow the Barber's Chair Network at Barber's Chair Net on Twitter and on IG, man. And of course, you can follow the Patreon, patreon.com/Barber's Chair Network. There's a new episode of Summer Sessions that will be dropping this week. We appreciate everybody for their monthly support, man. We shout out to everybody right now watching this on the Barber's Chair Twitter, the 79th and Hallis Twitter. For everybody watching this on YouTube, comment, and we appreciate that. You know, usually we do these pods at the stadium. Usually we upload the first night on Patreon for our Patreon subscribers. But tonight, we're not doing that. We're going live. There's a lot of raw emotion right now, not just from us, but from the fan base that, you know, we even put our video, our on-field video, which is usually a Patreon exclusive. And we'll make up for that. You know, we'll do something special in D.C. this week. I might give y'all a D.C. food tour or something. I don't know. We'll give something to the Patreon subscribers this week for making this free for everybody once again. But we feel like we just had to talk to y'all, man. We know there's a lot of y'all who say that we help y'all get through these tough times, and it's tough for us. I'm gonna be real with y'all. I do not want to record this podcast right now. I want to do anything to cleanse my mind of this terrible organization that I decided to be a fan of about 30 years ago. But we are here to help y'all out. Bears lose a close one, 31-28. I said on Twitter this is a top three Bears loss in my lifetime. I take that back. My brother brought me down to earth. It's not top three, but it's top five. Number one, I got to go Super Bowl 41. I mean, I think that's self-explanatory. You know, I know a lot of our fans are young. Y'all probably don't remember the 2006 season because it's coming up on 18 years ago. And I was 18 years ago. I was 18 when the Super Bowl happened. I was 18 years old. I was a senior in high school when that happened. So that was a long time ago. Number two is 4th and 8. I know a lot of people are like, why is this so high? Why is this so high? Because that was the season where we could have actually swept the Green Bay Packers that year. And, you know, you have an opportunity to beat your rival and clinch the division. All you had to do was get a stop on 4th and 8. And Mr. Chris Conte, fresh out of a timeout. And you know what's so maddening about that game? That was Jay Cutler's and Brandon Marshall's probably best game. You know what I'm saying? Like, the offense was clicking. You know, Jay had 3 touchdowns. Brandon had all 3 of them. Remember, Brandon did the spin around, touchdown in the end zone. Matt Forte was great. Alshon was great. It was just a great game. But that idiot Chris Conte couldn't get a final stop, and then they get eliminated, and Green Bay goes on to the playoffs. That's number two. Number three is the double doink. Three is a double doink for obvious reasons. The last season we had joy as a fan base. And number four will be today. Number four, it was very demoralizing, man. And you know, shout out to everybody in our chat. Shout out to Ola Ortiz. He says he's dead inside. Flusen guess he should be fired today and cut Canadian Earl Bennett. Shout out to Zach and Porter in the timeline and in the chat room. What's up? Before we go on the whole thing, Joe, what are your initial thoughts right now?
I gotta be honest, this is probably the most distraught. Zach, what's going on, brother? Not most distraught I've been at a Bears game in a long time. I can see, and it sucks because Bears fans are blind to what's actually happening right now. You know, I got a homie who is a 5%er, and the 5% motto is 5% motto is 85% of people don't know, they're blind, deaf, and dumb. 10% know and do not want to help, and 5% are the ones who are trying to help. And so I feel like I'm in that 5% of Bears fans who know what's happening and want other Bears fans to realize this truth that is happening. You watched an all-time game from Justin Fields, all-time meaning his own personal records and stats. He broke the Bears record for consecutive passes without an incompletion at 16. He was 24-25 through three quarters. I think 5 of 11 in the last quarter, which, I mean, I don't think there was any bad pass in that except maybe one that was thrown to Cole Kmet on the side that was just a little high. And then, of course, fumble, which is an unfortunate one, but it's definitely his fault. An interception, which is an expectation to trust. This is people wanted trust throws. So Justin believed that Cole Kmet would play football. So he would say, okay, Justin, I see a spot here. They're in a zone. I see a spot here. I'm going to play. I'm going to sit in the zone. And I'm going to play like I'm boxing out. He didn't do that. He sat in where he's supposed to go. He just went there. He didn't improvise. But Justin threw with trust, which you want to see from your quarterback. It's one of those interceptions where you go, man, you know. And I see Bears fans arguing, this and that. Justin hasn't do that. And, you know, whether it goes down as against him or not, it's still an interception in the book. And I see all these things. I think we're missing the point here. The point is that this is a deeper problem with this organization. The Bears are a terribly run football organization. When it comes to generating revenue, getting fans as asses in the seats, as they say, they're great. They're one of the best in the league. They are excellent at that. But when it comes to running a football team, they are horrible at that. And unfortunately, it has dampened me. We just had a conversation with our mother, and she was like, the Bears sucked the life out of me. You know, she saw 85. Remember that? She saw 85. The Bears sucked the life out of me. I don't watch them anymore. And Scott has a name for this episode that it can always get worse, but my own personal...
Shout out my man Adam John. We was walking to the locker room. He told me and Nicholas Moreno, see, I told you, it can always get worse. He told us that last week.
Yeah.
And they're over here. He said, see, I told you, you can always get worse.
But my own personal title for this episode is losing my faith. Obviously, I'm not losing my actual faith, but I'm losing my faith in the Bears, which, of course, you said, oh, you know, well, you cover them. Yeah, I still cover them. I try to be unbiased. But I was a fan since I was a child, and I'm a fan still to this day. I want to see them succeed. When I saw that backbreaking interception, I just put my hands in my head like this because it was like, yeah, it's frustrating.
And we all see what's going to happen.
You know what I'm saying? And it's frustrating because my thoughts are this is going to hurt Justin and he's not going to play with the confidence that he saw now. He's going to go back to being robotic. It's going to lead to a terrible season in which they lose the majority of this game, get the first two picks. They get the first two picks. They draft Caleb Williams, Super Marv, and hope is restored again. They hire a new coach who's never coached before. They get Caleb Williams. Caleb Williams starts the season with like 20 interceptions for the year, 14 touchdowns. But he has hope. The next season, he completely fumbles it. He looks terrible. The Bears are in the situation again. And in this situation, I've listed talented players. But the problem is that the organization does not hire talented coaches. If you're going to hire someone who has never coached, make it so that at least they're a prodigy or they're – they have so many skills at offensive-minded things that it's you understand it. Like a Mike McDaniels, like a Sean McVay. Even though Mike McDaniels got smoked today, you still know the guy
is happens. They just ran into a better defense, which I called on. I'm not going to hold you, by the way.
You know, you accept that because you know, and you know what the offense is capable of. Unfortunately, with the Bears, when I see games like today offensively, I think that's a one in a million. They're going to happen again. And that's indicative, and that's an indictment on the Bears franchise. They do not know how to foster a modern offense. They've forgotten what it's like to foster a defense. They spend money blindly, and then when it's time to make change, they do what they've done this entire organizational history. You know, we and Scott were talking about on the way back here from Soldier Field, and when you look at the coaches that the Bears have hired since Mike Ditka, including Mike Ditka.
They just got lucky with Ditka that Ditka balled out, but it was the same situation.
How many of them have had experience as a head coach before they got to the Chicago Bears?
I don't think there's one head coach in the history of this franchise that prior experience. George Halas had prior experience. The nigga was the owner of the team. I don't think there's one. I literally do not think there is one with prior head coach experience.
Because before Mike Ditka, it was Neil Armstrong, which I know Neil Armstrong, but he was the head coach. And he had head coaching experience, I want to say, in like the CFL?
John Fox. I forgot about John Fox.
Billy yeah, he's the only John one. John, we said that in the car. He is the only one who has had experience at that level. And so Neil Armstrong had head coaching experience not in the NFL. Not in the NFL. But I'm literally going through the list and said, okay, who had head coaching experience before? And it seems like it's only the Bears.
Yeah.
It seems like it is only Mike Ditka.
Well, I forgot about
John Fox who has had that. Mike Ditka did not have coaching experience when he took over the Bears. Who was it? It was Wani, right? It was Wanstead, right? Wanstead did not have head coaching experience. He was
offensive coordinator for the Cowboys' first two championships.
He was defensive.
He was offensive coordinator.
It says defensive on here because he was also defensive coordinator at Florida, Miami.
He was defensive coordinator?
Graduate assistant, defensive line coach, defensive coordinator, head coach of the Bears, associate head coach of the Dolphins, and head coach of the Dolphins, head coach, linebackers coach, defensive coordinator.
I thought he was the offensive coordinator. Well, that's even worse.
So Wanstead, of course, is the next person. And after him, you have Dick Duran. Guess what? Dick Duran didn't have head coaching experience in the NFL. Okay, you move on to Lovie Smith. Of course, Lovie Smith had himself a pretty solid career as a head coach.
He wasn't head coach either. He was in the Dungy tree.
No, that's what I'm saying. But he also did not have head coaching experience. Okay, you move on to Mark Trestman. You know Mark Trestman didn't have head coach experience. Guess what? He has it. And he was the Bears' first first person the Bears had in the modern era that had came from the CFL because Neil Armstrong came from the CFL, but that was 70s. So you go back next. Who's after Mark Trestman? John Fox is the one person who has had head coaching experience before he came to the Bears. He was with the Panthers as the head coach.
And
with the Broncos as a head coach.
Two Super Bowls.
Went to two Super
Lost
Bowls.
Both. But.
Lost both. You hire him. He was here for I don't know how many years. He sucked. He was here from 2017. So then you hire Matt Nagy, another person who does not have head coaching experience. Then you hire Matt Eberflus, another person who does not have head coaching experience. You hire all these people, and maybe you think to yourself, when will the Bears stick to a plan of hiring people who either know what they're doing incredibly or have had previous head coaching experience? And I don't know. It's demoralizing because it's such a poorly run franchise. But it doesn't matter if the Bears get Caleb Williams, which I'm still not opposed to. Even after a great game by Justin, I'm not going to switch up my opinion of the Bears getting a quarterback. Justin has to do this the rest of the year for me to say, okay, I understand.
Yeah, he has to. So at the end of the year, we like, okay, this is on the defense and coach staff, but he did this down the third. That's why my biggest fear, not to cut you off, but my biggest fear is that when I was in that locker room, after the game, everybody was distraught, but the ones who I saw distraught the most was Justin, obviously. Justin was very distraught. He had his head down. You know, he had his jersey on. And I give this, I give credit to Justin for two things. One, for the way he addressed the media today. He was great. He was great. He said what he wanted Cole Kmet to do. He didn't throw Cole Kmet under the bus, which is something your quarterback has to do. I think he showed a lot of professionals. But something that stood out to me that nobody else saw, just us in the locker room. But, you know, shout out to Jason McKee. He's one of the sideline reporters for the Bears. You know, the sideline reporters, they get their interviews right before they go to the podium. And they asked him, like, did you want to do it? And Jason McKee said, I understand if you don't want to do it. It was a tough game. I get it. Justin says, I got you. Guy got it. What you need? That's professionalism right there by Justin. You know what I'm saying? I got to give him that. But what really stood out to me was the people that's been there the longest. Eddie Jackson was distraught. And he looked like, man, I'm fed up with this. I've been here since. He's the only John Fox. He's the only John Fox era player. He's still here. Eddie Jackson. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's like, Bojack's been here since 2017. He feels like he can't help his team because he hurt the foot that he missed all at the end of the last season. So he's helping. Jalen Johnson looked distraught. They look like, here we go again. Kyler Gordon looks very, very upset. And I forgot which player it was, but I think it was, Travis Homer or somebody, but somebody in the locker room talking about, man, that was my fault on this play. And then somebody was like, well, no, you said this. No, I don't think I communicated better enough. So it's like the team is talking to themselves. This is not a situation where I feel like the team is against each other. You know what I'm saying? I think, and shout out my man Josh, on Twitter, like when we went to practice on Wednesday, we both said, oh, I know they're talking about these niggas, like when the coaching staff ain't around. They might be talking about them when they're around. You know, as bad as stuff is with Chase Claypool, Justin stood up for him. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't think this is a locker room
that's at each other's throats. No.
This is a very united front. I think everybody in that locker room knows what the problem is. And the problem needs to be cut off from the root. You know what I'm saying? Like, we looking at Ryan Poles, man. Like, I said this when the Larry Ogan Joby start, even before he got, me and you both said this. Two things we said. You were at the press conference with Ryan Poles and Eberflus got hired. What did you say? You said, yeah, it sounds good, but we did the same thing with Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy. I'm not finna just jump up and give these niggas praise because they sound good. You gotta go out there and do it. I said the same thing. And then when Ryan Poles messed up the Larry Ogan Joby signing, I said, that's not a good way to start your tenure. Everybody went to my head. Well, he can't hurt these help that he's hurt. No, you can't hurt it, but you know your research. When you're researching the player, it shouldn't just be a shock that, oh, he's so hurt he can't even sign. Like, that's something that you should know from an evaluation standpoint. So those are problems. Look at everything he's done. I told you this off air. Do we really know Jaquan Brisker is great or we just like him?
Like, is he great or is he Bears great?
Yeah, like, exactly. Ask anybody who's not a Bears fan what they think about Jaquan Brisker. They probably not going to care. So it's like the only thing I can give full credit to Ryan Poles right now for what he did is the number one draft pick trade because, yeah, Justin, you know, I'm not finna get all happy about one performance, and we were arguing about this in the group chat. I'm not gonna hold you group chat, and trust me, we will have a debate about that tomorrow. I will tune in because Dante was not rocking the entire game, so I know he's gonna have something to say tomorrow. But even if Justin fails the rest of the year, 9 times out of 10, you got the first two picks because you're on four, more than likely gonna be on five in about 5 business days. You know what I'm saying? More than likely, and you got Carolina who's on four now too. You're going to have the first two picks. So, yeah, I'll give Ryan Poles that credit. That's an amazing fallback plan. You know what I'm saying? Like, but if he doesn't hire the right people, it does not matter. Caleb, Super Marv, Brock Bower, whoever, they're going to be the next victim. They're going to be the next victim. You know what I'm saying? If it's not changed. And I honestly think, even though I do not think he's going to get fired because he's going to have this is not my quarterback and technically this is not my coach because you niggas gave me a list of people to hire. I think he's going to get off scot-free just off of that. But he got to go too. I think Kevin Warren, like I said last week, the bunk suit, and he had the bunk suit on. He walked past me today. We going to see because that's the issue right there. It has to be cut off from the root of problem, man. And you gotta hire experienced guys. You gotta hire a coach who's been there before. You know what I'm saying? As much as I don't want a Jim Harbaugh, you know what I'm saying? He's coached in the NFL before. Now, do I think that the league has passed him up? I 100% do. That Super Bowl was 10 years ago. That Super Bowl, Beyonce performed that, and only Blue Ivy was alive. Blue Ivy is 10 people, and they have three other kids. Okay, that was a long time ago. Colin Kaepernick was an effective player in the league. Now he's writing letters to an owner who endorsed Trump. A lot of things have happened since then. You know what I'm saying? So I believe the league has passed up. Jim Harbaugh. But at least he is qualified. So you need to get you a guy who used to be in the league. You got to get you a general manager who's done that before. Get you scouts who've done that before. You know, remember we worried about Ian Cunningham. What if you get poached by another team? That nigga ain't got nothing to worry about. Ain't nobody poaching him. Ain't nobody poaching him. So that's pretty much what I got to say about that. This has to be George McCaskey. We can talk about the McCaskey family all you want. This is a family-owned business, sort of like the Bulls. They are never – and I don't see a time where they're going to trade, where they're going to, sell the team. And, you know, it's another thing that's under the radar. They low-key fumbling the new stadium. We ain't heard no updates from that in a long time. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's just an overall fumble. And I'm embarrassed as a Bears fan. I'm embarrassed as a member of Bears media because I'm tired of not only watching bad football, I'm tired of covering bad football. I got to go all the way to the East Coast to watch these niggas lose to a nigga named Sam. You know what I'm saying? On Thursday night. And I got you on a 6-hour flight back to the West Coast. I'm tired. You know what I'm saying? It's overall, if we're feeling this way, the fan base feeling this way, the media, the national media, what are you going to do about it, Kevin Warren? What are you thinking about George McCaskey? You know what I'm saying? Like, if we're embarrassed, you should be embarrassed because you're not the laughing stock of the NFL. You're the laughing stock of sports.
Yeah. My thought, you know, it's funny because I'm not a person, my superstitious. I don't believe in curses whatsoever. But I think to myself sometimes, are the Bears just cursed? Is this just something that just happens? Is it impossible for the Bears to be a modern team? Because even with a coach as inconsistent as Brandon Staley on the Chargers, I know good and well that team can score. That's confirmed. I know they can score. They've drafted a good quarterback. They have offensive pieces. They work well despite the head coach not being really good. What is it about the Bears that they can't assemble those pieces at all? Like a game like this, well, the Bears only scored 28 points. Not like the Bears dropped 40. It's only 28. Four touchdowns. When is a game like that, why is it my first inclination to think, yeah, they're not gonna score 14 the next game? Yeah. You know, they're going to let Sam Howell throw all over them. It's an indictment on the franchise. The Bears, even though they're a family-run organization, I wonder, when do you feel like you feel the pressure from the fans to do better? When do you feel the pressure from the fans to actually get this right? And I had asked George McCaskey at the press conference, maybe you should hire people around or get the board that you all have for coaches. Maybe they should be a bit younger, you know. And it's not because there's anything against you, like no shade at you, but the game has passed you up. I can't expect my current knowledge and comfortabilities in football to translate to the NFL 50 years from now. For all I know, 50 years from now, quarterbacks could be obsolete and you have to be a running back and a quarterback from now on. I don't know. It's stupid, but I can assume that something will change within the league. And it's very few coaches who actually change with that, who say, okay, I'm going to adapt. Andy Reid is a person who has adapted to many different eras, but there are very few people like him. I mean, hell, even Bill Belichick doesn't look like he's adapting well. He has six titles. And so it's a problem that the Bears can't even get that one step right to have people who are experienced and people around them who are experienced and want to win. Because maybe Eberflus becomes a head coach down the line again, and he's better because he learned from this situation. Maybe. But the team who hires him will have the hope that he learned from that first situation. The Bears don't even get to that point. They just say, oh, this person was there. Let's hire him. Because it's not like Matt Eberflus had like the top defense in the league when he's with the Colts. I'm not sure they were top 10.
Yeah.
And so I just think, do they just sound good in the interviews? Do they say the right things? Because there's so much more to running an organization than they sound good. They're saying the right things. There needs to be some results. And this loss just deflated me. I really had nothing. I didn't even ask a question in the press conference because it's like, why? Why ask a question at the press conference if it was just going to be, well, you know, some things were good. You know, we have to make sure we're building on that. It's like, what do you actually want to say? I want to hear what you actually feel. And yeah, I'm defeated, bro. I'm defeated. I'm covering the Bears. I'm media, but my heart that is for the Bears is broken. And I don't want to become like my parents who just said, oh, they took the life out of me. I don't watch them no more. Because there's still a love of mine. I love the Bears.
They watched them win the Super Bowl, and they said they can't watch it. And they watched them win the Super Bowl.
Literally, they saw 85. The 85 the Bears will always bring up, they saw.
Shout out Pavi. Pavi said this, tweeted something that stood out to me. He said that was Jay Cutler. He said that was a bone crush interception. Jay Cutler. Yes, it was. Like, you had him, Jay Cutler. You weren't talking about Jay Cutler picks. Was this just timing? Like, they would come with that, and some there'll be some games when Jay was cooking.
Yeah.
Is the timing. And yes, I'm not, like I said, this interception was not Justin's fault. But I literally said when they got the ball back to win it, I was like, he's now they want him to play hero ball. They want to play hero ball, and now they're gonna blame you. Like the idiots who don't know the game of football, which is a lot of y'all. You know what I'm saying? Who don't know football, and it's fine. I don't know everything about football. I believe my brother knows more about football than I do. He played. I feel like if you play the game, you know more the X's and O's. All 22 is the worst thing happening to football Twitter, because y'all niggas get this all 22, and y'all start thinking you John Gruden. You not. You, a lot of y'all don't even know what you're saying. One of the best things I saw on Twitter lately was somebody pointing out to this is some type of route, and shout out to Quincy Avery, QB coach. He was like, "That's not it. That's not the same route you're talking about. Like, y'all don't know what you're talking about." Am I saying that Justin is blame free? No, he's not blame free. That fumble messed everything up. But I just can't blame a guy with that interception. That is all. Any tight end with a mind plays football, just like Justin said. I wanted him to play football. I'm trying to think. Kelsey wouldn't do nothing like that. George Kittle wouldn't do nothing like that. You know, we think of other tight ends. They I don't even think Robert Tonyan does that. You know what I'm saying? Like, these are the issues we have with Cole Kmet. He can be good, but he does too much bonehead stuff.
He's a very, and even I think even Justin said it, he did it by the book. You know, he did it correctly. But there's so much more when you're trying to be a guy. Like, I have my own little mini show, and I say, who's a guy? This person's a guy. He may be a guy. To be a guy in any sport, in almost in any field, actually, in any field, there has to be a level of improvisation. There has to be a level of improvisation. There's an old skit in Family Guy. If you ever watched House MD, you know, House doesn't play by the rules. But the old skit in Family Guy where House, who's actually played by that character, the actor who played it, Hugh Laurie, who actually played him. He was on there, and Peter walks up because I forgot who's in a coma, but he hands the rule book to him. And Peter in the house says, "Get this thing out of my sight." And it just emphasizes that House is great because House thinks outside of the box. He knows the rules, he knows what he's supposed to do, but he also thinks more creatively than that. And to be successful in any field, you have to have a level of improvisation that I don't think Cole Kmet does. Cole Kmet knows to get in the spot where he's supposed to be. But does he ever play with his instincts to say, oh, here, I'm going to do that? It's like the Justin Field play to Khalil Herbert. That's not called. That's just baller. That's all it is baller. And it was incredible. It was incredible.
Kmet also got to break some tackles, man. You were a 6'5 player. Exactly. Nigga, you are large. Pause. What are you doing?
Why
are you playing like me? What are you doing?
I think DJ Moore is clearly a baller. DJ Moore is clearly good.
Clearly
number one.
And it should have took 4 weeks for you to say, oh, you get this nigga the football, and he can do whatever.
And Darnell Mooney is a baller. That's not – a baller just means they know how to play the game and they know how to get open. Darnell Mooney's a baller. Khalil Herbert's a baller. Unfortunately, that tight end position that is Tony, my friend Tony always says, the tight end's always open. That position, you really got to be a baller at. Tight end position is becoming more and more valuable, especially as we see people like Nacua, who plays for the Rams, who is a undrafted person who's playing the wide receiver position. But the tight end, because you have to be able to run block, to pass block, to pass.
Who's the tight end in LA? Is it Higbee or something like that?
Not sure. But you need to be able to ball. And he unfortunately doesn't have that. But I say all that to say, I can criticize Justin while also praising him. The fumble is on him. I appreciate that he wanted to not take the sack, but just take it. Just take it. It's funny because the first 3 weeks of the season, you were not throwing out of a sack. You were just taking a sack. Just go ahead. When you feel you don't have an angle to release the ball, just take the sack. It's really, really simple. I can't say it's really simple, but it's a simple concept. Just take the sack. Yeah. When it came to and them picking it up, it's just it's unfortunate. It's an unfortunate thing. And then when it came to the interception, it's okay because you were throwing with trust, hoping that they would adapt to it, and they did not. But it's okay that you did that.
And you got to keep doing that.
Yeah,
you but can't stop.
Yeah, but at the end of the day, Justin shouldn't have to play near perfect for you to have a chance to win. No QB can play near perfect every time and have a chance to win. Pat didn't do it. Aaron Rodgers didn't do it. Peyton Manning didn't do it. Tom Brady didn't do it. Nobody has played near perfect. You have to have a counterpart, and it has to be the Bears defense. But I'm not really shocked that the Bears defense started folding, because when the Bears were up big 28-7, I said it's only so long fake thugs can pretend. In the words of Hov, it's only so long. It is only so long. And the Bears defense, especially with having several starters out, showed that they're not like that. They're not like that. The worst part about it that adds insult to injury is that you paid a lot of money for a lot of people. I will say I liked what I saw from Andrew Billings. I liked the linebacker play today. I thought Sanborn, Edmonds, and Edwards were very, very good
today.
They had
their best game. Somebody had a good point. I said they've been stealing money, which I still kind of agree. But somebody said in my mentions, they're like, well, pass rush is so bad, they out there, you know, with no protection. You know what I'm saying?
Your linebackers and your secondary are only as good as your pass rush. You can get away with a mediocre linebacker core and defensive backfield. You can't get away with a mediocre defensive line. It just doesn't work that way. So, yeah, it's just the joy is gone out of me. The joy is gone out of me. I'm pissed off. I have nothing positive to say. All I want to do right now is cover my face and watch Sunday Night Football. Just because it's like, what do I look for? It becomes a chore to cover this Bears games. When I got there, I was filled with angst. And Scott asked me, y'all, man, you think the Bears going to win? I said, no. And I was right. It's a shame.
I mean, I didn't pick the Bears win either. My final score was Broncos 30, Bears 23. Shout out to B-Dot. He said, so bad for Joey speaking the supreme knowledge. So, I mean, to me, it's like my biggest fear right now, because the season's over. It's just that's just what it is. Like, for the next 13 games, if anybody wants to ask me what I'm looking for the next 13 games, Justin's play. Like, yeah. We are – the playoffs isn't going to happen. What do we both have? We had 7-10 coming this season.
Yeah.
7 wins ain't going to happen. I don't even think 5 is going to happen. 2, 3. We won 3 last year. 3 is a stretch. Yeah. 3 is a stretch. And it's just because the defense is so bad. This defense, is it worse than last year? I think it's worse. It might be just as bad. I don't know. Because remember, at the beginning of the season, we had Roquan. So yeah. it was stout enough at that. And then also, the secondary is beat up. There's no Eddie Jackson. There's no Jalen Johnson. You know, and there's no Kyler Gordon. The secondary is beat up. But what I'm looking for these next 13 games is Justin's play. So my biggest fear here is that Justin looks at this and is like, see, that's why I don't throw it in anticipation, because these niggas don't, you know, always screw me. I hope he's like, okay, it's whatever. Cole messed up. I'm going to keep doing. But also, there's only so much Justin could do. Prime example, it's like the man has to play flawless. He fumbled the ball, and it's like Getsy was like, okay. It's like Getsy got spooked. Was like, we're not giving him the ball anymore. Now, I'm not saying there's nothing wrong with going with the run, because Denver had no issue for the run. I mean, had no answer for the run. Like, no whatsoever. But it's 4th and 1. And by the way, I have no issue with Eberflus going for it on 4th and 1. You're 0-3. You're close enough to scoring. You get a first down here. The game is essentially over. So I have no problem with that. You know what I'm saying? But don't take the ball out of your quarterback's hands. 4th and 1 after the way he's been playing. And then if you want to do something else, why are you going out of shotgun? Shout out to Jason Leisure asking Eberflus twice. This idiot didn't even have an answer. Why are you going out of shotgun? You're making it tougher. So I don't understand it. And then at the end, and Eberflus like, well, we felt good because now we can put Justin position to win. Then and you want this nigga to play hero ball. Hero ball never works, not even in basketball. Or in basketball, I call it go to hell ball. Like, we all praise Kobe for the go to hell ball. How many times did that ever work? usually it'd be 45 points and the Lakers lose. It very, very works. Very, very works, especially in football. Because now they know you got to throw the football. And now they're going to do that. And so I've watched that interception 10 times. 10 times since the game is over. It's like it was a perfect throw by Justin. If this idiot just moves to the right, he catches it. First down. It's like he saw the ball come and he tried to get out the way. It just don't make no sense. It kind of reminds me of the interception last year against Green Bay where EQ just moved out the way so Jair could come. Like he was leading Jair to his table. Like he a maitre d'. Hey, come sit over here. Like that's basically what he was doing. You know what I'm saying? Like it just doesn't make any sense. And it's like at this point, man, if I'm the coach, like ride with your quarterback, bro. Like I feel like they're trying to save their job. Like and how? Like you're more than likely going to keep your job if Justin balls out. You win games. That means they're more than likely to keep you. If you think Eberflus, if you think I'm like, wow, this wasn't my quarterback. No, you were brought in here as a defensive excellence, whatever they said he was. Your defense been ranked 32 for 2 years. Last in almost every category. Like, the one thing about the Bears, bad offense is not new for us Bears fans. But we always knew we had a great defense. We had a great running game. Just off the fact of that, we were going to be in the game. We have not had a great defense in 5 years. And even in 2018, that defense wasn't great. That defense folded when the money was on the line. Everybody wants to talk about Cody Parkey. I always say Cody Parkey didn't win that game. Didn't win that game. Cody Parkey didn't win that game, but he also didn't lose it. Matt Nagy's play calling lost that game. When this defense let Nick Foles dink and dime them for 98 yards, and then a fourth and goal, you let him dink and dunk to Golden Tate to win the game. This is on the defense just as much as on Cody Parkey. So we haven't had like an excellent defense that didn't have any holes like that in a long time.
Yeah.
So it's like we don't even have that.
Yeah.
So that's just pretty much all. I have no hope to give the fan base. I'm a very much glass half full guy in my life. I try not to get too high. I try not to get too low. This is and the worst part, right? We can't say. Like, I'm gonna keep going with Adam John said. It can get worse.
Yeah.
It can get worse. I don't know how the Bears just invent ways to be worse. They are the laughing stock of the NFL. They are the sports. They are, shout out to Jason Goff. They are the get right game. Denver needed to get right. They got right. That locker room is feeling good right now. They won a game. They came back 28. So they came down 21 points, 24 straight unanswered points. They're feeling good right now. You know what I'm saying? You saw the look on Russ's face after that touchdown to Cortland Sutherland. I ain't seen him throw to have that much emotion. I don't know how long. They feeling good. I don't know where the Bears go from here. I definitely feel like they're going to be 0-5 in a couple of days.
I have nothing. They're probably going to be 0-5. I don't see them winning more than two games. I'm not going to fall to the false hope that even if they have the first two picks, something's going to change. I don't. So we'll see. We shall see. I have nothing. Bears fans should not be persuaded by anything that the Bears do. It should always be, if you know how we say, okay, you're innocent until proven guilty with the Bears, you're guilty until proven innocent. So every single Bears coordinator, coach, exec is guilty of being terrible at their job until they prove to me that they're not. It doesn't matter if you hire somebody new. I'm going to assume the same thing.
Now, this comment ain't got nothing to do with the Bills, but it's hilarious. Zach Wilson going to throw 400 next week against Denver, and Greeny going to do a line of coke on Get Up Live. That's hilarious. Yeah, man, I'm trying to think what else is there to talk about. I mean,
nothing. I want to go to sleep.
There's nothing to talk about. Even if they lose on Friday, I don't think anybody's getting fired. Like, I think we're going to have to deal with these idiots for the rest of the year, unfortunately, man. So, I think that's all we got for y'all. That's all we got for y'all today. Yeah, man. Tomorrow, I'm not going to hold you. We'll have a more in-depth conversation about this. We're going to go with the local hour first. So it will be 4:30 p.m. Eastern time tomorrow, 3:30 Chicago time. We're going to be two hours. We're going to be leading y'all up to Monday Night Football between the Giants and the Seahawks. It'll be me. It'll be Dante, J.R. Bain, Courtney will be joining us in the second hour to break down all the MLB playoffs. MLB playoffs start on Tuesday. Only one show this week. No Friday show because I'll be traveling from D.C. to Los Angeles. So only one show this week. We're back to our two-week schedule next week, man. So you know to follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Barbershare Scott, at Flows Andolini. Follow the Barbershare Network at Barbershare Net. Follow 7th and Hallis, 7th A.N.D. Hallis on Twitter. Patreon.com/Barbershare Network, man. And we up out of here. 7th at Hallis, what it is, what it do. Since Bobby Ingram, Curtis Ennis, know that we've been loyal even when we wasn't winning. A trusted source for the news. 7th at